What is God like? I wonder how you answer that question, or how do you fill in this sentence? God is, if you're a teenager here, how would you fill in that question? If you're a young adult, how would you fill in that sentence? If you're going through a time of suffering, how do you fill in that sentence? Here's what Ariana Grande, a famous pop singer, said. God is a woman, and has a song to that effect. Friedrich Nietzsche says God is dead. Others say God is a strict head master. Others say God is like Santa Claus, a figment of your imagination. But I wonder what you think about whenever you think about who God is. And Tozer said, what we think about God, what we think about when we think about God, is the most important thing about us. I wonder what you think about whenever you think about what God is. You see, if he is dead, then that really affects who we are and how we live in light of that. If he is a strict head master, that's really going to affect how we approach him and how we feel towards him, and really going to affect our prayer lives as well. How we think about God and what we think about God will affect our hearts, our heads, and our hands as we go out into the world and as we live our lives. And during this series, we're going to be taking various characteristics of who God is and examining them sort of one at a time in a bit of detail through the Old and through the New Testament. And it's really important for us to realize that as we take each of these characteristics, God is always all of these things at the same time. So as we were thinking about last Sunday, that God is holy. God is always holy. There isn't ever a time whenever God isn't holy. This evening, whenever we're looking at God, it's good. He's always good. There isn't a time when he sets aside the fact that he is good and acts in a bad way. He's always all of these things. And some songs really highlight the fact that God is good. And there's a song out a couple of years ago that says, you're a good, good father. And that is true. But we also have to realize that God is holy, holy, holy at the same time. So as we consider who God is, and as we consider the fact that God is good for Stephen, he's also a lot of other things as well. But this theme of God is good is probably something that we have learned from a very young age. I'm currently teaching George a few prayers. George is 2. And I say, George, God is great. God is good. Thank you, God. And he finishes off, for my food. Amen. Our songs. Who grew up singing the song, God is so good. God is so good. God is so good. He's so good to me. And it goes on, but I won't go on. Or in some churches, somebody at the front says, God is good. And the congregation say, all the time, God is good. Obviously, you didn't grow up in one of those churches. Are currently trending on social media, hashtag God is good. I've just done well in my exams, and you say that, hashtag God is good. I've just got a job, and you say that, and you say, hashtag God is good. And yet, if you're like me, and you think about God, probably the word good in our current culture isn't a word that you would immediately think of. Yes, he's good, but he's surely so much more than that. Isn't good such a bland, normal, ordinary word? I would say, well, that was a good day. Or if somebody does something well, we say, good job. Or if we tell our children, well, be a good girl today as you go out. Or as we're watching a game of football, we say, well, that was a good game. It's a very bland, nondescriptive word. Isn't that too bland of a word to describe God Almighty? And yet in this, God is good, we see under the first heading, God is good. One of the church fathers, Augustine, said, He is the highest good, than which there is no higher is God. Consequently, He is unchangeable good, hence truly eternal and truly immortal. All other good things are only from Him. Or John Blanchard has phrased it a slightly different way. He says, nothing good comes except from God, and nothing except good comes from God. So as we think about God as good, God is the very fountain of all that is good. And in Psalm 119:68, which is the first I was given for this evening, says, you are good and you do what is good. So God is good. For the student who has just got the grades that they wanted, God is good. For the girl that has just married the guy that she wanted, God is good. For the couple who have welcomed a child, God is good. For the patient who has just received the all clear, God is good. For the teacher who has just landed the first full-time job, # God is good. But what about the student who didn't get the grades? Is God good? Or is he suddenly not good? What about those who long to be married and yet so far they are single? Is God still good? What about the couple who long to have children and haven't yet? Is God still good? What about the teacher who comes second every time in the interview process? Is God still good? Well, those are some of the things that we're going to wrestle with this evening. And possibly you come under one of those second list of comments where very rarely does somebody say, things didn't go as I'd hoped, # God is good. Hopefully we're going to see that God is still good through all of these things. And it will cause us to wrestle. It will cause us to cry out to God. It will cause us to bring our fears and our hearts to God and to pour them out. But I believe that God is able to handle whatever it is you're carrying and whatever it is you're struggling with as well. And I say that from experience. So let's see what God has to say about his character, that God is good. One commentator said that the word good is morally excellent, extraordinarily beautiful, deeply glad, extravagantly beautiful. Our God is the original definition of good. And any of the other things in life that we call good are simply a reflection or flow from the fact that God is good and that they are a dim reflection on the goodness of God. So in God's word, right from Genesis through to Revelation, we see God describing himself as good. If you recall Moses on Sinai in Exodus 33, it says, the Lord said, I will cause all my goodness to pass in front of you, and I will proclaim my name, the Lord, in your presence. I will have mercy on whom I will have mercy, and I will have compassion on whom I will have compassion. Have you ever wondered, why did God say, I will allow my goodness to pass in front of you? Why wasn't it, like I said, where I'll cause my holiness to pass in front of you, or my justice to pass in front of you? I think because out of God's goodness, his mercy and his compassion flow, a key characteristic of who God is. And as we go through into the New Testament, as well, and the rich young ruler comes to Jesus in Mark chapter 10. He says, good teacher. And Jesus says, hold on, fella. Who do you call good? No one is good except God alone. So here's Jesus in front of a crowd, clearly saying that the only person in the world that is good is God alone. Some say, well, yeah. That shows that Jesus isn't claiming to be God, but he is still claiming to be God. He's just saying, you don't realize that I am God, and you're calling me good, trying to gain favor. But only God in this world is good. Then if you go to Jesus on the famous sermon on the mountain where he is talking about prayer and asking, seeking, and knocking in Matthew 7:11, it says, if you then, though you're evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give good gifts to those who ask him? Here again, God is comparing human fathers to our heavenly Father. And if we who consider ourselves to be good can give good gifts, how much more? Because ultimately we're evil. We're called here evil. How much more? Because we are evil compared to God, apart from Jesus and what he has done for us. How much more is our good Father able to give us good gifts? I'm the father of a two-year-old called George, and I'm trying to learn how to be a good father to him, and I'm really struggling at times. I often neglect him when I should be giving him attention, and I often give him too much chocolate whenever I really shouldn't. But yesterday on the way home from church, I called in via a toy shop, and I got him a little pig for his farm. George loves his farm. It's unbelievable. So I bought him a little pig for his farm, and I arrived home through the door, and George had actually just hit his head off the cot as I came in. It wasn't my fault for once. But I came into the room, and the tears totally dried up once I showed George this little pig figure. It was just one little pig, but his tears suddenly went. And then for the rest of the day in the farm that he has in the front room, he was playing with the little pig. And as he went to sleep in the cot, the pig had to go as well. And as he got up this morning, the first thing he got was this little pig. And we went back down to the farm, and the same thing happened today. He's a creature of habit, like his father. And as I am learning to try to be a good father, I'm beginning to understand what sort of good gifts George enjoys. And other children would think you're crazy coming home and showing them this little pig. But as an evil father, I know the good gifts that my son will enjoy. How much more God, our good heavenly Father, how much more does he know how to give good gifts to us, his children? He gave us his one and only son that we'll go on to hear about later on. But just for us to revel in the fact, how much more is our good God a giver of good gifts? James 1:17 goes on to say, every good and perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of the heavenly lights, who does not change like shifting shadows. God is a good God. He's a good God yesterday. He's a good God today. He's going to be a good God tomorrow as well. And we could have hours of looking at how he's a good God throughout Scripture. But A.W. Tozer, again, just to summarize this section, said, the goodness of God is infinitely more wonderful than we will ever be able to comprehend. Can I encourage you as you go from here to allow this just to be a primer to see in your daily readings this week just how good of a God he is, and in the pages of Scripture that you go to see where God is a good God. Secondly, we're going to see that not only is God good, but also he is generous with his goodness. He is generous with his goodness. Psalm 119:68 says, you are good and what you do is good. And we're going to see here that everything that God does is good. There aren't some things that God does that is just okay that are actually bad, but actually all that God does is good. And his character is revealed to us in his actions towards us. We could look at the fact that God's word is good, and the Bible is often being referred to as the good book. Psalm 119, the longest psalm in the Bible, talks about God's word and his laws and his precepts, and highlighted here in the first, your word is a lamp for my feet, a light on my path. God's words are good because God is good. If God wasn't a good God, then his words to us wouldn't be good either. But he is a good God. And we're going to focus this evening on God's actions towards us, his creation. J.I. Packer, the brilliant Anglican theologian, in his book Knowing God, said this: God is good to all in some ways, and good to some in all ways. I'll read that again because it can be confusing. God is good to all in some ways, and he is good to some in all ways. And we're going to look at that under point two this evening. So how is God good to all in some ways? Well, think of his creation. The creation of this world is a good gift for all of us. And God, as a good God, created a good universe. After day one, God said it was good. After day two, it was good. After three, it was good. Four, it was good. After day five, it was good. And after day six, it was very good. God, a good God, produces good things, and there's a good universe that he created. And humans, as a climax of his creation, was very good. The balance of oxygen in the air, the angle of the earth at a perfect angle, the seasons in perfect harmony, the color that he gave us in all of creation. He could have created a black and white world and we would have been no better or worse off, but he created all of this array of color for us to enjoy. All of the details of creation that just could have been left out, and yet the detail that he has given to us to enjoy, and the intricacies, and yet the big things as well, as we stand in awe at the bottom of mountains or the sea, and we just go, wow, majestic, this is good. What I'm seeing here is good. Our ability to think as humans, to work, to rest, to communicate to each other, to create, all of these things created in God's image are good. And yet all that we see today is marred by this filter of sin that has totally infiltrated the whole world that we see. But God creates a good world for all of us to enjoy. Psalm 145 says that I celebrate your abundant goodness and joyfully sing of your righteousness. The Lord is gracious and compassionate, slow to anger and rich in love. The Lord is good to all. He has compassion on all that he has made. Did you see who benefits there from the goodness of God to all? That includes all of us. That includes everyone. The Lord is good to all. He has compassion on all of us. He hasn't totally wiped us out because we have rebelled against him. And ultimately, he sent Jesus Christ into the world so that whosoever would believe in him should not perish but have everlasting life. And this is a great tension in God's word, that's for the whosoever will. And one commentator has said that on every page of Scripture, we will see God's goodness to his creation. Can I encourage you to go home and to look at Scripture and to see God's goodness, how he is patient, how he is kind, how he is long-suffering, how he is gracious and merciful? Because it's a bit of a misconception in today's world that God is good only to good people. And if you are good to God, God will be good to you. If you obey God and try to live your life well, then God will be good to you, and all of these blessings will flow down from God. Now, God is good to all. Wicked and evil, as all of us are, enemies of God in our natural state before him, God is good to all of us. One commentator said that God's grace isn't reserved for good people. Grace underscores the goodness of God. Grace is not reserved for good people, but grace underscores the goodness of God. As we consider God's grace for saving, it all flows from his goodness. And we see here that that is how God is good to all in some ways. And yet I believe that Scripture does teach that God is also good to some in all ways. I have an aunt. She is the tea lady at the Irish Baptist College. And I believe that she is probably one of the goodest people that I know. And I realize goodest isn't the word, but I use it for literary effect. But as each of the students comes in for their 11 o'clock tea, she is good to all of them. She provides tea and coffee for all of them and some feta bread for all of them. She pours them a cup of tea and she chats to them, asks how they are. She is actually interested in every single student at the college. I find it hard to believe, but she is. And yet, just recently, as I went to her 60th birthday, she is good to all in some ways at the Baptist College. But see, when her grandchildren come, or her children come, she is good to some, to them in all ways. There is not one thing that she wouldn't do for her children or for her grandchildren. As we consider God this evening, how much more is he good to all in some ways, but good to some, good to his children, I believe, and that some in all ways. And we're going to flesh that out this evening. Because sometimes whenever we think about God being good to us, that's getting everything that we ever ask for. In some senses, it can even be in an evangelical Baptist church in Northern Ireland. It can be believing a version of the prosperity gospel that pain and suffering, trials and tribulations will never come into our lives. That we will never face challenges. But that isn't what God offers in the fact that he is good. C.H. Spurgeon said, talking about God in the Psalms, God is good. Not because that he causes things that seem or feel good to happen in our lives, but because in the midst of the storm, God comes closer to us than the storm ever could. God is good not because he causes things that seem or feel good to happen in our lives, but because in the midst of the storm, God comes closer to us than the storm ever could. And that could be the results don't go the way that you want. Life hasn't quite worked out the way that you'd hoped it would. Your job or lack of job hasn't gone as you had hoped that it has. And as we were to comment on those things in social media, in those things, the promise of God is that we can still say, hashtag God is good, because in these trials and difficulties, he comes closer to us than ever. I realize many of us struggle with different things, and one person who struggles with some of these things is Joni Erickson Tada, who testifies in her biography after being crippled from the neck down. She became a quadriplegic after a diving accident. She struggled and she wrestled with God by being in this chair for the rest of her life and all that goes with that. She goes on to deliver a talk entitled Life is Hard, but God is Good. She wrestled with a good God allowing suffering. She wrestled with a lot more than I ever have, possibly at a similar level that you have, and whatever your struggles are. And her famous quote is this: sometimes God allows what he hates to accomplish what he loves. Sometimes he causes us, or he allows a storm to come in our life so that he can come even closer to us. Let's see a short video from Joni about the goodness of God in her trials.
Hi, I'm Joni Erickson Tada. And if I am remembered for anything that I have ever said or have ever written, I hope it will be these words, quote, God permits what he hates to accomplish that which he loves. Can't think of a better answer to the ancient question of suffering. I mean, even at the cross, God permitted what he hated, the agonizing death of his own precious son, he hated that, in order to accomplish something that he loved, that he prized above that death, and that is salvation for a world of sinners. So the world's worst murder becomes the world's only salvation. Oh, friend, and in the same way, God hates spinal cord injury. He hates mental illness, autism, and all the rest. Yet, he permits these things to accomplish something far more precious in our lives. And that is patience, endurance, compassion, refined faith, and best of all, a deeper trust in God and a love for the Savior. So today, please remember James chapter 1 and welcome your trials as friends. God permits them to accomplish what he loves, and that is Christ in you, the hope of glory.
So can I urge you in your trials and your tribulations to run to a God that is good? I realize it will be difficult. I realize it will be wrestling. I realize it will be tears or it will be pouring out of your heart, but to run to God because he is good. And that brings us on to Psalm 23, probably the most famous psalm in the Bible. And really, every line of it shows us a different angle of how God is good to us. This isn't a full exposition of the psalm, you'll be glad to hear as we conclude, but it's showing God's goodness in this really famous psalm. It says, the Lord is my shepherd, I lack nothing. In God's goodness to us, he leads us. He guides us as a shepherd. In God's goodness, he provides for us. We lack nothing. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters. In God's goodness, he gives us rest and refreshment. Are we tired, burnt out? Come to the good God who will give you rest. He refreshes my soul. He gives strength to the weary in his goodness. He guides me along the right path for his name's sake. In God's goodness, he guides us through the trials and the difficulties of life that we are facing. Even though I walk through the darkest valley, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. In God's goodness, God is with us, even in our darkest days. When your partner walks out, when your children rebel, when the doctor phones with the bad news, God is still with us in the darkest days. When we pass through the darkest valley, God is still good, because this world is not all that there is. And God is there ready to comfort us. Verse 5 of the psalm says, you prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemy. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. God, in his goodness, will give us healing and abundance. Maybe not always in this life, but in the life to come. Verse 6, surely goodness and love will follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. In God's goodness, God provides a home for us, and God is in that home. We will one day know complete and full healing. Every relationship problem that we face, every physical problem, every emotional problem will be gone. Everything that we consider we lack here on earth, we will either get it in heaven, or we will realize that we don't need it and we'll have no desire for it because we have Christ. In heaven, we'll have all of our desires fulfilled because we are there face to face with the good God. God is good to us. He is a good shepherd, and Jesus came on earth, and John 10 then says, I am the good shepherd, laying down my life for the sheep. Can I urge you, when you are tempted to deny God's goodness, love, and grace, look to the cross of Calvary where Jesus took your place. Our circumstances aren't always the barometer of the fact of God's love and God's goodness to us, but the cross is. And if God gives us his son, that which is precious to him, Romans 8:32, will he not along with him graciously give us all things, all that we need? And in 2 Corinthians 1:20, all of God's promises are yes in Christ. So if you're in Christ, you're a part of the sum that God will be good to in all ways. Not always in this earth, but ultimately in glory with him. So thirdly, finally, and very quickly, how do we respond to God's goodness? Well, 1 Corinthians 16:34, we must rejoice. Give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. His love endures forever. Do we need to rejoice more in God's goodness to us? Maybe we need to repent for being so ungrateful for all that God has given us. Maybe we need to see the common occurrences of God's goodness to us and the saving goodness, and to be reminded afresh of that. How do you know if you're taking God's goodness for granted? Well, Jerry Bridges has said, if you're discontent, you're probably questioning God's goodness to you. I find that so helpful. If you're discontent, you're probably questioning God's goodness. May God help us to delight in what we have rather than to desire what we don't have. Maybe you need to take rest and refuge in God's goodness, to taste and to see that God is good. Maybe even for the first time, you come here as a teenager and you're not really sure that God is good or whether Christianity is worth following, and your friends are into it, but you're sort of going along with the crowd, and your parents are Christians and you sort of go to the churchy things. Maybe as a teenager here this evening, you need to taste for yourself that God is good. Maybe we need to replicate God's goodness and to show it to others. Ephesians 2, verse 10 says, you are God's masterpiece, created in Christ Jesus to do good works. God has saved us to serve. God has good works for us to do. They aren't going to save us, but they're going to show that we are saved and going to bring glory to God's name. And if you feel like giving up and doing good, if you feel it's just not worth it any longer, these words from Galatians 6, do not become weary in doing good. For the proper time we will reap a harvest if we do not give up. Therefore, as we have the opportunity, let us do good to all people, especially those who belong to the family of believers. Would we be a church who replicate God's goodness to each other and to the wider world out there that know nothing of God's goodness, and yet it's what they are searching for? Let's pray. Father, as we've tried to delve into your character this evening, we feel so inadequate to find words to go along with your inspired words to explain it. But Father, I pray that as a result of this evening, we would get a vision of you being a good God towards us, even in our trials, even in our pains, even in that thing we are thinking about currently, even in our deepest fears, that we will realize that you are a good God. Father, would you help us to allow you to come closer to us in this storm than the storm ever could, and to go and tell others about the goodness of God. In Jesus' name, amen.